You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. Are your leadership priorities truly aligned with your role? Because when they aren't, even great intentions tend to create friction that may show up as bottlenecks or micromanaging or missed opportunities.
Alignment really isn't a luxury. It's the backbone of results. When a leader's time horizon and daily actions match, their role's strategic demands, the team accelerates. When they don't, performance slows and trust erodes.
And today we are actually putting a name and a model to help us with that phenomenon, to help us lead to alignment. It's called the Strategic Leadership Alignment Model, or SLAM. And it's designed to align what you focus on with what your role actually demands.
Before we dive in, I just want to make a quick note about today's framework. So the Strategic Leadership Alignment Model was actually developed by Quest to the Core's very own Simone Kelly through years of coaching leaders at every level inside of an organization. So today we're going to do a little bit different, and we are actually going to get to dive into Simone's thoughts on this particular model and unpack it so that we can understand what it and why it's important and ultimately the impact of it. So are you ready, Simone?
I am ready.
Excellent. So I know that you spent a lot of time researching and trying to put this together, but I really want to find out what's changed in the last 12 to 24 months that makes alignment more urgent than ever before.
Over the last year or two, we've seen a lot of things. Budgets have tightened while expectations for output have increased. We've seen much more with AI and automation. Those two together have shortened planning cycles significantly. We've also seen changes in how and where work is done post-COVID. We have many more hybrid roles, and companies are requiring return to the office. This has multiplied the types of handoffs that are occurring between shifts or between projects. An additional nuanced impact is the leadership turnover. We're seeing new people in new seats faster than perhaps we have generationally before. 2019 was the first time baby boomers were outnumbered in the workforce. So generational shifts have added some unique nuances to when and how people are promoted into leadership roles, which has required leadership teams and learning and development departments to really shift how we develop new leaders. You put all of this together, and that's why alignment feels more urgent now than ever before.
Well, and I love the fact that we do have these opportunities for individuals coming into the organization and to be able to advance quickly inside of an organization. But that obviously creates gaps, and that creates skill gaps, but then it also creates alignment gaps. So if leaders don't align time horizons now, what near-term failures are most likely to occur?
You're going to show more bottlenecks operationally. So results get derailed. You have less efficiency. So performance gets weakened.
So how big is that execution tax of misalignment today versus 5 years ago?
I don't think we felt all the effects of it yet. Some of the effects that I think we're feeling with it right now is the employment outlook, right? There's a lot of people who have been laid off and are struggling to get a job. And then let's step back to what were the decisions around why were people laid off? Well, because finances missed sales, that ties back to some of those inefficiencies and or some of those missed opportunities. So we're beginning to feel some of the impacts and effects of it now. The friction around work from home or return to work, I think it's tied to this whole concept of alignment. What's the organizational goals, and are our daily behaviors leading towards those? And I don't think we're connecting all of those dots yet. So the execution tax hasn't hit us. We're feeling some symptoms that we haven't stepped back from a micro level to diagnose, but I think a lot of this is connected.
So what I'm hearing you say is that we really have just been kind of on survival mode, focused in on the here and now, making those decisions based on 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, maybe even a year from now, but not necessarily having that long-term viewpoint of what's the impact of decisions today going to have later on down the road.
I think it's a great way to put it. We're trying to solve for today's problem, and we're not looking at the future needs.
Which I think some people would say, but I do. I look at that, right? I look strategically. So what would be the biggest false positive situation that looks like strategy failure, but is actually horizon misalignment?
This is a tough one because you almost need to be in the inner circle to see that fail. And you can also assume from the outside looking in. But what I see regularly is it's a miss on those short-term targets. Our expenses are up and our sales are down. Well, those are your this quarter and next quarter and last quarter and the past 12 months. What are you spending operationally to be successful in 3 years? Who's looking at the decision to reduce your staff today on what your numbers are going to be in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? So I think that is a false positive. We're too near-term focused with some of those financial decisions from a strategic perspective, but it's really a strategy fail because, you know, either wanting to grow through acquisition and the integrations failed, so our numbers didn't hit. It's executing the strategy. That's a fail. Or our sales are down, or our product launch didn't happen at the time that we planned. Those are all strategy fails. You're looking at the wrong part of it. You're looking at those short-term metrics versus the long-term runway to get it done.
Well, and what I love about this is just another way of looking at it. It's another tool. It's another strategy for us to be successful as leaders inside of organizations, but even in our own personal life as well. You know, thinking about where do we want to be 3 to 5 years from now? And are we solely just focused in on what are those decisions for today and tomorrow? So the urgency is real. So let's actually put the clear framework around the solution and walk through the strategic leadership alignment model, or better known as SLAM. And we're going to talk about what it is and what it's not. So if you could summarize it up in one sentence, a nice, concise summary, what is strategic leadership alignment model?
I appreciate the coaching because I know I struggle with just a one sentence description of anything. But in a sentence, SLAM is a framework that defines where leaders would put their focus across time so that today's actions, tomorrow's goals, and the long-term vision all align.
That was excellent. I'm very proud of you, actually.
Thank you. I worked really hard on that one.
It's a good thing that I gave you that question before the test so you can think about it, setting you up for success.
Otherwise, I would have prattled on for quite a long time and have to edit the mess out of that one.
So in this model, you talk about 3 time horizons. So can you share with us what those time horizons are, and then which roles are primarily accountable for each one of those horizons?
Sure. The time horizons are short term or near term, and then an intermediate and then long term. So short term would be 1 week today, 1 week. And then intermediate would be a month to a quarter, maybe a quarter to a year. Some of that it could be dependent on the organization. And then the third one, the long term, is more than a year and a half out. Like you're looking at a year and a half to 3 years out. And I know some of the diagrams that I've created, those numbers will shift. And it really does depend on the organization. So some organizations call a role a supervisor, some call it a manager, some call it a director, some call it a vice president. Fundamentally, all organizations have frontline managers, middle management, and senior leadership. So those three areas, and there might be a couple of roles inside of each of those three, but it's really the, what does the frontline need to look at, that time horizon? It really is that they need to wake up with an energy around, what are the numbers I need to hit today? What do I need to deliver by this week, maybe this month for a manager? And then The middle needs to really be focused on this month, this quarter, maybe the next quarter as well, or chunking it out in the quarters for the year. But that's what they need to be focused on when they first wake up in the morning. That's what their question needs to be. What do my numbers look like for this? What roadblocks are in place that would prohibit us from meeting those targets for this time period?
So I love the fact that you pointed out that it could be slightly different depending upon the organization. And I think even when you think about the subcultures inside of the organization or the different business units, there may be a slightly different time frame that you're going to be looking at. But I think those concepts within each one of the time horizons really does impact, as you mentioned, frontline, middle, and then that senior leadership level.
So I would encourage anyone who uses the model to rewrite it to fit like their nomenclature for their organization and even adjusting what some of those time variables may be.
When we look at the different horizons, and so let's start with the short term, so that front line, what does success look like? And then why does that matter?
Success always looks like meeting the strategic demands of that role.
So can you elaborate on that?
Of that horizon. Yeah. So for the front line, for that first horizon, horizon one, it means immediate outcomes. Things are running operationally efficient. We're proactive in managing performance. We don't let performance linger. So that looks, what good looks like is managing those performance issues as they come up. Good also looks like effective execution. So we say we want to deliver by this particular date, and we deliver by that particular date. So you're aligned when those things are happening easily.
Now, the next level, so the middle management, there tends to be a little bit more pressure placed on that level. And regardless of the industry that an organization is in, that level of management or leadership plays an important role in the success of an organization, but almost feels like they're being pulled in two different directions because they're overseeing those frontline, right? And making sure execution is where it needs to be, but then also being asked to be a little bit more strategic. So what does good or success look like at that level?
It's interesting that you brought up that tension. And this one is one of the most difficult areas of this chart to be in because they are a bridge between daily execution and strategy. So that role, they've got to be able to understand and make sure that the tactical planning is in place and created, but look at it from a strategic perspective, then communicating that strategy and communicating those results in a way that the Horizon 3 needs to hear it. In Horizon 2, you're that strategic bridge between the daily execution and that long-term strategy. So you have to be really good at the tactical planning, but delegating the right people to do the tactical execution.
Which can be the hard part, the delegation piece. Yes. It's sometimes the most difficult for leaders, for sure.
But also what good also looks like, Horizon 2, is developing people. It's team development. Said another way, you've got to build managerial capacity at this level.
Because you can't do it by yourself.
You can't. And I think this is where a lot of companies miss. They'll staff it to their learning and development group, but the leader in that Horizon 2 really needs to have psychological ownership of it and use the learning and development groups, use special projects to help develop their team to build that managerial capacity.
Yeah, which I think that's for a whole nother conversation that we could have just focused in on Horizon 2.
Yeah.
But transitioning to the last horizon, Horizon 3, the long-term focus, thinking about those senior leaders inside the organization, and if they were to be listening or even having a conversation, I can hear them say, well, we did a strategy planning session. We have a 3-year strategy plan. So I must be doing the right thing, or I must be successful in this horizon because we've defined the future direction.
Yes. And so what I'll say to that is having the healthy food in your refrigerator, does that make you healthy? It's the eating of it that does.
I love that analogy so much. I'm sure that's why you picked it, but that was amazing.
And then, you know, having the gym membership doesn't make you fit. You've got to actually go and use it. So for the people that are in Horizon 3, yes, you've got to have that strategy and you need to look at what is the vision that correlates with that strategy? And is it the right time period? And you need to then take it to the next level. So if this is where you want to be in 3 years, what does year two look like? What does each quarter in this year look like? And then how do I make sure that the organizational systems can deliver on that? And so in Horizon 3, you're really looking at the organizational development. That's a main priority at this particular level. So are the systems in place? Are the leadership pipelines in place to help make this happen? Are we future ready? Do we have the proper tools to act on when some of those metrics start going out of bounds? Do the people feel empowered enough to be able to do that?
Which can be felt all the way down to the front line. So when Horizon 3 is misaligned, there is not just tension at Horizon 2, but also it's felt at that frontline level for individuals inside of an organization.
It really is. This one is where it all can start or end from this level, particularly at the CEO level, but also at a C-suite function level. You see often when there's a change out in that role or at that level, all of the leaders beside them, above them, and that would work in the organization say, well, we'll wait till they get here to tell us their strategy. That's a little backwards because it's the organization. The organization has a strategy and you want to hire someone to help execute on that strategy. They need to lead at that level to execute. Yes, they'll input, they'll help shape it. But really what's happening is we're waiting to see what time orientation they're going to bring in to see what's important. And that's what I'm going to go do. So a CEO may have a near-term focus. So they'll come in, yes, they'll develop a strategy, but they're going to ask questions about, make decisions around this quarter, next quarter, and because they're going to focus on this year's numbers. And as the CEO, yes, this year's numbers, highly important, but they're also going to feed into next year's number and the year after. So are you putting the right organizational systems in place to make that happen, to be ready for the future? Because that's the sole purpose for the C-suite, is to get the organization ready for the future. Because they're the ones that invented the future.
Hopefully. Yeah. So now that we've named the horizons, we've kind of shared a little bit about what's involved at each one of the levels. It sounds like the real issue shows up when leaders work at the wrong level. So when you think about each level, what are some of the most common misalignment patterns that we see between people and their role?
One of the most common is just leaders operating too short term. And how that shows up is in micromanaging. And senior leaders are overly focused on the present. Mm-hmm. They're overly focused on this month's numbers, next month's numbers, versus seeing where it's deviating, just asking for how are you going to fix it? How are you going to correct it? Or when will it be corrected? But really trying to get in and tell and direct, here's how you fix this. Here's how you get it back online. And I would say another misalignment pattern that may not be as evident when you look through the materials, but you have a new leader coming in who was hired from the outside. They may be coming from an environment that has processes that are defined, measured, executed, and you may not have that, but that's actually why you hired them, is to help elevate that. So where the misalignment happens is the new leader comes in from the outside and they'll have a focus on that intermediate or the long term. But everyone's used to focusing on that day to day. And so then you start having a conversation of, it's just not the right culture fit. This guy just didn't fit in the culture, or this woman didn't fit in the culture. But really what happened is they were just looking at the lane you wanted them to and didn't appreciate the lane that the company was in and didn't do the proper change management or relationship building to help level up where people needed to be focused.
And would it also be if you hear somebody say, you know, I have this individual or a group of people who are operating at the level below them. So if you have a manager or a director and the director is really doing manager work, is that very similar to what you're referring to?
Yeah. So they would even say, well, they're not being strategic enough. I need them to be more strategic. But that's a clue that they're just misaligned. So what are they looking at? Is that they see drives their work. This model really is based on the statement that our thoughts drive our actions. And when we see somebody who's done something that we just think is off, we ask, what were they thinking? If we really found out what they were thinking, it would help us to really be able to coach and help support the problem. So when leaders are not being strategic enough, or they're being too much of a micromanager, I get really interested in what do they see is important for them to deliver? How do they know that they're on target for their job? And invariably, they'll start listing those day-to-day metrics or the week-to-week metrics that the manager is responsible for delivering, not them. And so when you can help redirect that, you can ease some of the friction that invariably, you know, gets built up.
So it does sound like misalignment creates friction, it reduces performance, can even damage trust, and can even cause some issues if you're bringing somebody externally in and you get rid of them prematurely because of this misalignment. So I'd love to hear from you a particular scenario where SLAM reframed a stuck conversation.
Working with a call center director. And in call centers, they are ruled by the numbers of the phone. How long was the wait time? And there's often contracts around, here's what our service level agreement is around the wait time. And in this particular month, there's a manager who was just really panicking over the fact that they were behind on that service level agreement. Rightfully so. They're responsible for delivering that number. So their solution was to overstaff to get the number down. So they got the number down each day. So the manager thought they were doing great because the number was getting down. The director saw the overtime starting going through the roof, so the expenses started going up. So the director's responsibility is making sure that not just do we meet the SLA, but are we operationally efficient in meeting that SLA, that service level agreement. So the director stepped back, talked with the manager, and they did the math for the whole quarter to figure it out. So it all comes back to algebra. Yes, we do use algebra later in life. So they made this word problem and they figured out the math that they didn't need to staff it to the numbers that they were getting down. But there was a way to draw that number down mathematically by not over increasing the staff, but by adjusting the staff number. So they were able to meet the service level agreement, but then also the budget and the operating expenses. So it was just that reframe of what horizon they were looking at, because the manager was looking only at his own horizon and the director was looking at theirs, and they shared. So it wasn't a misalignment, really. It was a sharing of that. So I guess it wasn't a great example of a misalignment, but it was a great example of them sharing their perspectives to then support each other in getting what they needed done.
Well, I think that just speaks to, you know, this is a collaborative perspective or collaborative model that you want to identify and focus on where you're at, but you have to look holistically and there has to be a partnership between each level inside. So as someone's listening and they're starting to evaluate what level they're at, what horizon, what are some early signs that they know that the SLAM model is working for them?
Decisions get faster. And decisions at the right level of work. So with that call center example, each had they knew what they were responsible for delivering, but then they shared, hey, I need you to make different decisions for this reason. And so because they were looking and operating in their right horizon, that decision was faster rather than one holding on to being right and the other holding on to being right also. I think you'll also feel and see cleaner handoffs with work. I think people are more clear when they're ahead or behind. You actually have conversations of, are you ahead or behind? I'm ahead, I'm behind. And you have less sort of those circular debates about who's right, who's wrong. And I think another signal would also be that our meetings get shorter.
Now, that's an interesting concept. Meetings get shorter. What?
Because you're not mixing the daily problems with more of the strategic discussions. and you feel comfortable and confident that they're going to be taken care of when they need to be taken care of, and there's a time, then we'll actually set the time to talk about the two. So there's trust in each other that, yeah, this is going to happen, that collaboration, that conversation will happen.
Which can be powerful. I think it goes back to, very simplistically, we need everybody and we need to be able to collaborate, and we need all three horizons in an organization to help the organization produce results. So for those who are listening, they're trying to wrap their head around this SLAM model. If you had a few key points for them to walk away with from this conversation, what would those be?
If you're feeling friction at work, possibly the timeline is misaligned. Yours or the person that you're feeling friction with, that's one key point. Another is, by intentionally addressing these misalignments, you really have the opportunity to strengthen the team and drive that performance we were just talking about. Another would be, use this model to help you define your focus. What are you entrusted to deliver by the company, and go deliver that? And this model will help you locate yourself on that.
And these are powerful insights into helping us be successful, but insights don't change behavior. And so the core framework is a great way for us to be intentional about aligning our role, our horizon, and our actions. So when you think about curiosity within the core framework, what is something that we can be curious about to make sure that we're aligning our focus and our actions?
Fundamentally, where am I focused? What am I looking at? What time horizon am I looking at? And if you struggle answering that question, ask yourself, how do I know if I'm ahead or behind?
So being curious.
Just being curious.
Being curious. And then the O in openness. I know that we often talk about just open, you know, being open to whatever surfaces for whatever it is that you're trying to figure out. But from your perspective, how can we use openness to help us be intentional?
Through the relationship you have with your teammates, with your manager, with your internal stakeholder on a particular project, just asking them, how do you see me operating day to day? Am I delivering at that horizon, that timeline that is expected of me for this particular role?
Which could bring up a lot of information, a lot of data points that we don't necessarily have for ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you being an outsider looking in and diving into this model and actually helping me edit the original papers? What comes up for you with relation to any of the acronym within CORE?
Well, I think reflection is huge for me. And I think just being able to reflect upon where we're at, what we're actually doing, because a lot of times we are on autopilot. And we've talked about that in several episodes about being on autopilot. But we, again, are doing whatever right is in front of our face just because we're trying to get the task done, trying to get that accomplished. So really being able to reflect upon what it is that we're doing, where are we within the horizons, where we should be, and then being able to get those data points so that we can have the information to be intentional about making those changes. And then ultimately embracing it, right? Which is our last to the core, is being able to embrace whatever should.
So John, I appreciate you asking these questions and allowing me to talk through this. I'm excited about it. I the idea of this type of model helping other people. I know it's been useful for me in coaching conversations, in myself and leading myself, but to be able to get it out beyond me, it's a fun conversation.
Well, I appreciate you sharing. I know that you have it posted out there on LinkedIn, and we obviously will post it on our LinkedIn page and website and all those things, but appreciate you sharing your thoughts and how you've put it together and allowing me to get inside and really see and understand, making the pages come to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you have a reflection for the listeners this week, what would that question be?
Before the reflection, I encourage people to go read that full model that is out there on LinkedIn. And I would ask yourself one question every day. How do I know if I'm ahead or behind?
Simple question.
Very simple question. And just see what comes up for you. You can look at it in relation to the model and then figure out what actions to take from there.
And it will be powerful.
It will be. And it may lead into our next episodes. You can then hit play on the next episode as well. So
that's right. Because now that we have learned and have greater insight into the strategic leadership alignment model, our next episode is going to be focused in on those actionable steps on how to integrate that leader time orientation into what we do on a regular basis. So don't forget to access all of our resources as well as Simone's paper on this model on our website at w2thecore.com with the number 2. And our discussion guides are out there that you can use with a group or a team. So don't forget to download those and use those for a great discussion.
And again, a very special thanks to our Grammy recognized hit songwriter, Cliff Goldmacher, for our theme song. Please go check out his information on our website.
So until next time, name the horizon, align your actions, and let CORE be your guide.